Fuck you. That's my name.
You were hoping to get a little therapy in today. You know what? Hey, let's just do a quick recap of Bloodsport. Pretty awesome movie. Frank Dukes is full of shit. It's a fantastic masturbation fantasy for a pathological liar. And yeah, go see it. It gets my highest recommendation.
There you go. Movie summed up.
All right. Let's delve into the therapy then.
So anyways, everybody, this is Sharks Across Hollywood. We haven't recorded in like over a month, but you wouldn't know that because we keep on releasing episodes because we plan ahead.
We plan ahead, so we don't have to do anything now.
But yeah, so you heard it. We're talking about Bloodsport. I don't know how much of that I'm going to keep, so fucking whatever. I took a lot of notes for this, even though this movie is like bare bones simple, which is probably why I like this movie so
this
much.
This is the most straightforward. It's ridiculous, and the levels of ridiculousness are multifaceted. That's like where you really want to pay your attention to. But the plot itself, like, it could not be simpler.
The best part is it's all true.
100%.
So also what I've been doing is listening to other podcasts that talk about Bloodsport and Frank Dukes for the past like 3 weeks, because we've been trying to record this for about that long.
Yeah.
But I've had to cancel. He's had to cancel. Everybody's had to cancel. We're doing all sorts of shit. We're redoing our floors, redoing our whole house, and it's stressing everybody out. And I'm fucking losing my goddamn mind, among other things. But that's okay. We're going to talk about a fun movie from the imagination of a fucking insane person.
Frank Dukes, I haven't actually heard interviews with him.
Oh my God, I should have sent you some. Oh my God, there are so many interviews and he is out of his mind.
But based solely on this movie and what I was able to gather from Wikipedia while rewatching this movie, he is like a textbook pathological liar. The kind of guy who just will keep escalating and keep escalating every single time you question him on something, you know, because the pathological liar never admits that they're lying. No matter what, you can catch them dead to rights in a lie and they will just turn it around and just keep going, you know, like just keep plowing ahead. And it is funny. I was having a conversation with my brothers. I may have brought this up on the podcast before, but it would have been a while ago, where apparently because of our association with evangelical Christianity, and the fringier parts of evangelical Christianity, we have a real familiarity with pathological liars and how to spot them.
Is it because they're all pathological liars and they try to talk themselves out of fucking circles all the time?
No, that's it. It would be easy to reduce it to that, but no. But it does attract pathological liars. It's like not all conservatives are Nazis, but all the Nazis are conservatives, right? Like, not all the pathological liars are, or not all evangelical Christians are pathological liars, but all the pathological liars who are Christian are evangelicals, because that it's the perfect subset for them. It invites conspiracy theory. It invites paranoia. It's all about that, right? And so we've met a lot of pathological liars in our life. And one of the things we all came to was that all pathological liars claim to, at one point, have been a cage fighter or an MMA fighter, right? But that's the modern version, right? Back to is in the old days, they were ninjas.
They fought and commandos. Bruce Lee. And they're, oh yeah, no, I knew a guy that I used to work with just like that. He was better than Bruce Lee. He had more sniper kills than Chris Kyle, who is full of shit all on his own.
So maybe he did.
That's a possibility.
Well, I don't know anything about Chris Kyle. I just know that guy. Like, I just know the cult of douchebaggery that surrounded him.
He was definitely a sniper and probably killed a few people. You know how he died? No. An accident on a shooting range.
Oh, that's gotta hurt, right?
Yeah, no, I love that's it. Gotta I love hurt. It to death. So, if you don't know, Bloodsport is the true, very, very true story about a man named Frank Dukes. Frank Dukes apparently sees himself as Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I don't know if you've seen what he looks like.
He's no Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know, if Tommy Wiseau was like a little bit more bloated, they have that same thing going on, except in Tommy Wiseau's defense, he's a lying dumbass too. But at least at least he legitimately created something it out into the world.
You know what? In fairness, Frank Dukes did give us Bloodsport.
Well,
like, it wouldn't exist without him.
He did an interview in Black Belt magazine about all this crazy bullshit that he did. And then Shelton Lettich is like, that would make a good movie. And then they became bros and they wrote this story, and it's very true. It all happened. Even though if you watch the trailer, it says this American fucking soldier guy is going to be the only Westerner to win this underground martial arts tournament. We'll talk about the actual movie here in a second and tell you why the underground martial arts tournament, the underground part of it, is way bullshit. But first of all, Frank Dukes is Canadian. Second of all, Jean-Claude Van Damme is fucking Belgian. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Do you want to hear the most American thing ever,
though? Fuck yeah.
Yes, exactly. Supposedly, I don't know why I'm saying supposedly, because this has to be true. This cannot not be true. Donald Trump likes this movie so much that he played an edited version of this on Air Force One, just the fights.
Yeah, no, that story 100% checks out. I can't see a universe in which that's not the absolute truth.
I have a bunch of random crap in my notes, too, coming from all the podcasts that I listen to over the... I have, pitch a Frank Dukes biopic. I want a biopic about the actual guy.
That would be interesting. Like, if we could get the actual story, but you'll never get it. That's the problem. There's no way to get the actual story because, like, who would you get it from?
There's, like, little snippets of truth in it. Like, he was in the military, some branch...
Yeah.
Never saw a lick of battle, never went overseas. He was in America the whole time. The only injury he ever received in the military is that he fell off a truck that he was painting.
Yeah. Fun fact about Frank Dukes. Let's face it. This is going to be the Frank Dukes episode, right? Like, apparently the term stolen valor was invented.
Yeah.
Not specifically for Frank Dukes, but by the man who wrote a book citing guys, specifically Frank Dukes, among them. So it wasn't him. He wasn't the only one it was invented for, but he was one of the ones it was invented for.
Yep. We're not breaking any new ground here. Every single fucking podcast on the internet talks about the exact same things.
Yeah.
But you know what? At least I've discovered a couple cool podcasts, a couple really shitty ones too. But I'm not entirely convinced. I don't know if Frank Dukes is actually a liar or if he really believes that shit, because the next note is, I was listening to a podcast called Citation Needed with the guys from The Scathing Atheist and Cognitive Dissonance. That show, they get together, the four of them, five of them, and they read a Wikipedia article on some random topic. They happen to do one on Frank Dukes, and they kept on calling him Frank Dew. Nobody fucking pronounces his name right, and that really bothers me. I'm like, you guys just watched the movie.
They did?
I don't know if they did, but there's a bunch of people who are like, Frank Dukes. And they're like talking about Bloodsport. I'm like, guys, you've seen the movie.
That's the question. Have they?
They talk about it like, oh, Bloodsport. I know Bloodsport. I love Bloodsport. I'm like, what the fuck? Then how come there's a joke about his fucking name in the... Never mind. But they posited, the guys on Citation Needed, that what if it actually did happen? But really, it didn't. It just happened in Frank's head, and he got recruited by this weird ninja cult, and he was brainwashed into thinking it actually happened. I mean, maybe not an actual ninja cult, but like, he got taken into the mountains and brainwashed by his creepy fucking weird uncle.
I like that version better than, he's just making it up to feed his ego.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I don't know... I was kind of, what the first time I ever heard that it was fake and there was a dude there, like Frank Dukes was a real guy, but he made it all up. I wanted to be like, dude, it would be so cool to like interview this guy and be like, why'd you do it, man? Why'd you make that shit up? And then you just fall down this rabbit hole of, oh, he's telling everybody it's real. Still, this is 2018 when I figured this out or whatever.
Oh yeah.
It was not early on. I'm just like, what? Like, he either believes this, or he's full of shit, or both. I don't know.
I have not read Dukes' memoir, if that's what you're asking.
The fucking secret man?
I haven't read it.
I want it so bad. You have no idea how much I need to read that book. I will personally go buy it from Frank Dukes. I don't care if he gets any money from it. I don't care if he gets my money, even though he really likes Donald Trump.
Here you go. Here's a latte on me.
But he really likes Donald Trump, but all everybody with brain damage does. But if you watch an interview with this guy, his face is like really droopy on one side.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, there's no way this dude doesn't have a head injury.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Maybe. I mean, he was in the military and he did
fall off a truck painting it.
Well, he studied some martial arts, you know.
There is
a record that he studied some martial arts at least.
They locked him up a little bit in the military and like they put him on like mental health lockdown or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Because he had some crazy ideas or however they put that.
Yeah,
he was delusional.
What is it they said he had
unusual ideas or some
flighty ideas, I think, is the way they put it in the report.
That he may have actually believed that he was like some secret service operative.
He wouldn't be the first. He might be the first to get that popular for it, but
yeah,
you
no
never
shit.
Know.
So let's talk about the actual movie. I'm sure we'll pepper in some random crap about Frank Dukes along the way, but I really want to talk about the movie itself because I love this fucking movie. The first time I saw it, I was a little kid. It was on TNT.
It's a fun fucking movie. I watched it with my son last weekend, and then I watched it again just today. And, you know, my son and I were talking about it, and he's like, God, this movie, it's really terrible.
Yeah.
If you look at it objectively, but it's so fucking fun to watch. Like it's just like they just kind of get all of the backstory stuff out of the way as quickly as possible because it really is a formality to get us. I mean, it's an ego stroke for Frank Dukes. Yeah. There's no question. But really, it's a formality to get us into what we want to see, which is the fighting.
Yes. And it takes us a bit to actually get into the actual fighting. I actually timed it. I check the timestamp when we get there. But we open on, like, you know, shots of Hong Kong and some dudes like setting up the Kumite and the mm-hmm. and the platform and stuff. And we'll talk about the platform because Frank Dukes has specifically talked about that, apparently.
I am a little curious what the rationale behind that platform was.
I don't know what the rationale is, but he said that that's what they did. And if you don't know, when Van Damme fights Bolo, they like drop the middle of the platform down. So it's like a V shape kind of.
Yeah, so it's like two ramps meeting in a gully.
And I always thought it broke when I was a kid. And no, they like just do that. Sure, whatever. Then we jump right into the montages of all these different fighting styles. Some of them are real. One of them in particular is not the most racist one.
I was going to say, like, I actually said to Storm while we were watching, I'm like, is this actually a fighting style? Or just the most racist thing I've ever seen.
I am going to refer to it as monkey kung fu. That's not my words. That is what they call it in the movie, or what the filmmakers call it, I guess. But that's what it is. You know, Bolo, he's doing his thing. Bolo Young, fucking Mr. Olympia of
this
Hong Kong.
Is peak Bolo Young.
Oh yeah, right, this is the first. This is probably the first time anybody, like this, most people, saw him, as my age at least, that he was in Enter the Dragon, of course. But
yeah, sure.
But like, this is the first time he talks. No, he doesn't. He doesn't talk at all. He doesn't.
No,
actually.
He says like 10 words.
No, he doesn't.
Oh yeah. Well, all right. He mouths 10 words.
Yeah.
And then they have an actor come in and dub it.
And you know, there's like just everybody doing all their things. The monkey style guys breaking coconuts and shit. There's kung fu. There's Muay Thai, kickboxing, and Donald Gibb Ogre shows up for some fucking reason. And they're just like, I hear you going to the Kumite, super secret. Just so you know.
Yeah, they're just, everybody knows about this incredibly secret thing. Like, everybody.
And, which is weird, because Frank Dukes is apparently the first person that they ever allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, this is, his story immediately starts falling apart.
Yeah, like, the second the movie opens.
As soon as the lady reporter is approaching people in a bar asking about the Kumite, you're like, maybe this event is not so secret. The FBI or CIA or whatever the fuck they are,
guys. The cop guy goes like, yeah, we know it's there.
They go to the cop and they're like, I think we both know what we're here for. You know, like, everybody knows about this Kumite, but apparently it's so secret that nobody knows about it.
It doesn't make any goddamn
sense. It's fantastic.
So the real American hero here, Frank Dukes, who is from Belgium in the movie and in real life.
Indeed.
He's going on furlough, and the colonel needs to see him because they need to talk to him about going to Hong Kong for his furlough vacation thing, because he's the military's greatest weapon.
I mean, Jesus, I don't have words for how truly ridiculous this movie gets about the mythology of Frank Dukes. It's just like he's the perfect weapon. He's been trained. He's the military's greatest asset. They can't even risk him getting injured.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, I did not.
You should, because that's what it is. That's,
really?
That's literally what it says. Yeah.
They're recruiting other governments to help them protect him.
Yeah, it's that. So, you know, Frank Dukes, he fucking escapes from the shower, of course. And he escapes from, apparently, the heavily guarded military base because he's a ninja. Ninjas aren't real, just so everybody knows.
I just watched a movie that had two ninjas in it. Thank you. Well, technically, three ninjas, but...
three ninjas?
But not that three ninjas.
Which ninja movie?
It was called Bloodsport.
There's three ninjas in Bloodsport?
Yeah. There's Tanaka, Tanaka's son.
Shingo.
And Frank motherfucking Dukes. You just got schooled.
So after he escapes, he goes and visits Senzo Tiger Tanaka. Do you know about this guy?
I know that there's debate as to whether or not he even exists.
Doesn't. He's a character from a James Bond movie.
Senzo Tanaka is a character from a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
I knew that Tanaka was a character. I didn't know that they actually shared both.
That's
names.
The only fucking like reference anybody could find anywhere to a Senzo Tanaka. And he happens to be a ninja guy and shit. And
I will say Dukes, because I did see that that Dukes basically deflected that by saying Ian Fleming based his villains on
real people.
Christopher Lee actually did confirm that.
Not
Senzo Tanaka, but he confirmed that he was friends with Ian Fleming and that all the villains were based on people he knew.
So let's go to the flashback. Do you love the flashback as much as I do?
Jesus Christ, this flashback.
So I feel bad for this poor fucking kid.
The acting is so bad.
It is
specifically
terrible.
Specifically during the flashback.
Every podcast that I listen to, they're like, this kid must be special or slow. I'm like, give him a fucking break.
That's so mean.
Apparently,
he's clearly not an actor.
No, apparently he really is French. And they actually had him dub himself, it sounds like. And he's not an actor. Probably a
kid.
He's
clearly not an actor. He probably did some martial arts. Yeah, you know, he probably had like the body or the moves that they wanted.
And everybody talks about the two different Giants teams that he's wearing clothes from.
Really? He's just back and forth on the Giants?
The San Francisco Giants hat and the New York Giants shirt.
I did not
Two different
notice.
Sports. That's football and baseball, I think, right? But him and his friends, they, air quotes, break into Tanaka's house. The window's just fucking open and they just kind of step in and they see this fancy sword. We'll talk about the sword in a minute because the sword is, air quotes, real also. He says this part didn't really happen, though, this way. He met Senzo, like, somewhere. Not like this. They hear Senzo coming, they hear somebody coming, and the two friends fucking bolt, and this kid's just standing there like, duh, I'm gonna stay here, I guess, I'm just a good guy. And then
the son comes over and
kicks him right in the stomach.
Poof!
He's like, what are you looking at, round eye? He says that, I don't know, he doesn't say that quite yet, but yes, that's what he says.
This kid's got a problem with Frank right off the bat.
So apparently Tanaka thinks that Frank has something special, so he's gonna... this is an air quote again, train him in martial arts, but really what he's doing is teaching him enough so that his kid has somebody to beat up on that won't die. Is the what I get out of it. So Frank, though, is apparently better than Shingo because he saves him from a bunch of bullies that are kicking his ass. And then Shingo's like, one day I will fight in the Kumite. And I'm like, how, pussy?
You can't even fight on the schoolyard.
And guess what? He dies. No reason. We don't know why he died. He just kind of, Frank just shows up and Shingo or... Tanaka's like at his little Shingo altar and he's like, I'm sorry, I'll fight in the Kumite for you. He's like, you can't, you're a whitey.
Frank is like, you taught me to be open-minded. Why can't you be?
And he tells a sad story about how his, like Mr. Miyagi, about how his original family died in Hiroshima. So we're making me happy here. And then Frank eventually talks him into like training him really, and he's going to do it. And that's where Van Damme, we start a 5-minute training montage and Van Damme does the splits like 30 times in it.
It is his specialty.
That is my only issue with the movie, is that the training montage happens...
How many times his splits happen?
No, that the training montage happens right now. It doesn't. It's not Rocky style and it doesn't happen right before the final fight. But it can't, obviously.
I mean, story-wise, I don't think the story would have supported
it. No, it doesn't make any sense, but... Yeah, a bunch of the other podcasts kind of tried to rewrite it as him getting the kid got killed in the fucking Kumite by Chong Li, and that's why he's gonna go fight him and shit. And I'm like, ah, that's a good idea, but not even Frank knew.
Now that is kickboxer.
even the real Frank knew that nobody would believe that shit. There's all sorts of weird shit in this training montage, by the way. The blindfold, that'll come into play here later. But he's going to go fight the Kumite. And Tanaka's like, fine, Whitey, just don't die, okay? So we're going to cut to Hong Kong. Frank's on this bus. So this is present day, as far as the movie goes, I guess.
1986? 88?
1988. But Frank Dukes won the tournament in 75, but they're not doing a very good job in making it look like the 70s, so it's the 80s. Who cares?
Right.
Frank's on a bus. We meet Ray. Kind of. We halfway meet him. He's this fucking giant bastard who gets on this fucking bus and he's just drinking a beer. He sits behind this Chinese lady and goes, hey, baby, you want to go out with a real big man? And she's like, ew.
You might know him from Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds or Boy Meets World.
Or fucking Step by Step. He was on that too. I remember he was a guy who had gotten rich making temporary tattoo machines.
Frank sees Ray. His name is Ray, hit on the girl, and he just kind of like smirks and goes, what the fuck? And then they don't have an interaction again for a couple minutes. So we cut to the reporter who gets that Mary Steenburgen, I'm too cute for life fucking seal of approval.
Yeah, that's fair. She's no Mary Steenburgen, but I'll say she's playing in the same pond.
Yeah. She's super cute, but she's talking to these two guys and she's like, you're here for the Kumite, aren't you? And they're like, the fuck you talking about, lady?
And I'm talking with Storm. At this point, we're already like, hyper-focused on all the racism secret that's going on in this. And we're like, she's just walking up to random Asian guys and going, you're in the Kumite, aren't you?
Well, to be fair, they are in Hong Kong, so it's probably going to be replete with random Asian people.
Exactly. She's just walking up to every Asian guy she sees.
Every person she meets.
You're in the Kumite, aren't you?
Here for the Kumite? even the women, even though they don't allow girls until the second movie. Yes, there is a girl in the Kumite in the second movie.
Really? Yeah. I have not seen the sequel.
Donald Gibb shows up again.
Didn't that happen in the mid-90s or something?
Early to mid-90s, yeah.
Okay.
Not the one with Cody. Not the one with the Codeman. That's Kickboxer.
Yeah, no, I know. I haven't.
It's another action guy who shows up in like John Wick and shit.
Oh, okay.
I never remember his name, though. He started out as a model. So, yeah, they're not giving her anything. So, we'll get back to her later. Ray, though, we come across him again. He's playing this arcade game. I think it's Karate Champ. Frank walks up behind him and he's just looking over his shoulder and Ray's like, you think you can give me some competition? He's like, I'll try. Cause he's all bright eyed and bushy tailed, which is weird because if he's really as big of a badass military guy as they say, why is he so like chipper?
So aw shucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Cause that's how Van Damme played everything at that point.
Yeah. This is his first starring role, by the way. Like, he'd played gay karate man in some movie. He was an extra in Breakin'.
Really?
And he was the bad guy in No Retreat, No Surrender.
I haven't seen any of those. So, although I do have a copy of Breakin', I picked up Breakin' and Breakin' 2 DVD the other day. They were like $4 each.
I need to see them. I've never seen them.
I only know them by reputation.
Oh, and he was the bad guy opposite Sho Kazugi in Black Eagle before this, I believe. So Frank kicks Ray's ass in the game.
Because apparently real-life ninja skills translate into video games.
Yeah. Did you not know that?
I was not aware. I did not realize that Bruce Lee would have been the best Mortal Kombat player.
That's why I'm so shitty at video games, because I'm not fucking good at anything.
Only real ninjas can master the power.
They become best friends just like kids in a real arcade. And Ray's like, if you like this kind of fighting, you can come see me kick some ass in the Kumite. That I'm not supposed to be talking to you about.
Everybody's talking about the Kumite.
Then we get the two agents, one
it's
played
the
by...
the worst kept secret of all time.
No shit. And then we get the two agents, one played by Forrest Whitaker, a future Oscar winner, I believe.
Backtracking just a little bit. If the Kumite was real, that's how it would be. It'd be like a terrible secret. Like, everybody would know about it, and everybody would be talking about it. But, you know, it'd be like something that, you know, I mean... Ostensibly, within the realm of the movie, it's something that that the triads are hosting, right? If it were real, there would be tons of people who knew about it. Not everybody would be talking about it necessarily openly. They might pretend it was a secret, but you'd have dumbasses like this guy just openly talking about it in a bar.
Maybe ending up in the fucking river later because they won't keep their mouth shut.
Exactly. And yet somehow, when fact-checking, nobody could find evidence of this kumite.
No, but according to Frank, they were held all over the world every 5 years. His was in the Bahamas, not in Hong Kong.
Yes, I did see that much of the Wikipedia.
He's article. Like, the one before that was in Chicago. I'm like, prove it. Fuck these agents. Fuck this subplot. It makes no goddamn sense. They're after him because of the U.S. government. They need him back because they don't want him to get hurt because they've invested too much money into him. Or
he's too valuable.
Frank and Ray check into their hotel and they meet Mr. Lin, kind of the comic relief. He's a lovable doofus guy. He's going to like show him around Hong Kong and shit. We like him.
The hell's Mr. Lin?
I'm Lin. You Jackson? You look like a Jackson. That will make you Frank Dux.
No. It's Dukes.
Gotcha. Like put up your Dukes, right? Okay, so here's the deal. This is the biggest comedy ever. We got fighters from all over. I've been assigned by the IFAA to help you and the other North American fighters find your way around. I'm going to make sure you guys give it your best and don't disqualify by fighting outside the arena.
So he's going to take them to where the kumite is being held, and we meet this giant man. We get a big line here. He's like, they're from the USA, and he just looks at him very sternly, then big smile, holds up his thumb, okay, USA. And then they go down this, like, creepy little corridor, because Mr. Lin's talking about, like, oh, you're crossing the invisible border from Hong Kong to mainland China, and you'll get killed over here when it gets dark in the fucking, like, corridors or whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I do like this as a set piece, you know, these darkened corridors.
People just, like, live there, and they're just walking around. It's fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a great set piece. I saw someone on Reddit the other day had asked a question of, like, what would be a good setting for a horror movie that hasn't been done to death? And someone suggested that
just the little corridor in Bloodsport?
No, but that walled city building, you know, where, like, the entire city is in one building?
Well, yeah, they make a mention of the walled city, and I'm like, we're going to see it, right? No. But apparently that's where the kumite is being held, but they just walk down this corridor, and apparently through this corridor is a magical world full of karate tournaments and shit.
It's a pretty sweet tournament, too.
And you mentioned Mortal Kombat earlier. You know this is the basis for Mortal Kombat, right? You know that story?
No. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. They were going to make a Bloodsport game. They did. They developed the technology, but then lost the rights or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happens. A bunch of people are still bitter about it, I guess.
Yeah, but it was going to be Van Damme motion capture and stuff, but instead they just ended up doing it with the people who were in the office and just being like, all right, well, fuck it. We're still going to make a game.
They had some real martial artists doing the motion capture for it and actors, like some martial arts actors. There's lots of YouTube videos that show them actually making it. It's really cool.
That's pretty rad.
And then they made Johnny Cage as the kind of stand-in for Van Damme, and but they gave him, somebody pointed out, they gave him like kind of the Frank Dukes backstory, how Johnny Cage is full of shit and he has to go to this tournament to fucking prove himself.
That's perfect.
I didn't really think about that, but I'm like, holy shit.
I wonder if that was them subtly commenting on how much they thought Frank Dukes was full of shit after meeting him or something.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's so fun. So we get to this place where the tournament is actually being held and all the fighters are there, and they're not allowed to fight outside of the tournament, otherwise they get kicked out. So that's
strict rules.
And there's a bunch of suit and tie guys because they're the illegal gambler triad people who are putting on the show, I guess. The Black Dragon Society.
Yeah.
Which is
so
real.
This place is like packed, but it's a secret.
The super secret competition is packed.
This is like those fights in Showdown, you know? Nobody knows about it, but we have 200 people every night.
Oh yeah. Like, what the fuck? And that one's like children, so
high school kids.
That's even worse. Mr. Lin is taking him to these two dudes, and he's like, you have to qualify. I'm like, they already got the fucking invite. Wait, why do they have to qualify now? But apparently, the idea behind the real Frank Dukes' kumite is that we'll get the stats at the end, but there was like 3 days of him fighting 20 guys a day, and then after you make it through that, then you go into the one-on-one.
The story gets better every time. Every time I learn a new fact, it gets better and better. Oh my God, that is so fucking stupid.
He had to come up with a way to make it work, and I mean, like, sure, why not? We get a dumb joke, and he's like, "Who is your shidoshi?" Like, he's like, "Senzo Tanaka," and he's like, "He says Senzo Tanaka is his shidoshi," and Mr. Lin's like, "What difference does it make if fucking Bruce Springsteen is his shidoshi?" This part reminded me, I finally watched Martial Law.
How was it?
It was dumb as shit.
I kind of expected that.
But amazing, because it was so stupid. The first one was way better than the second one, because David Carradine is the bad guy.
Oh, all right, yeah, I'm down. I love me some David Carradine.
But the Dim Mak plays a very big role in it.
Really?
I saw David Carradine do it before anybody said anything. I'm like, this is fucking Dim Mak. What the fuck? And then like 2 seconds later.
Oh, wait, they don't call it Dim Mak.
Oh, no, they do.
Really? Yeah,
3 seconds later, he's like, it was the Dim Mak. I'm like, ah. Oh, that, yeah. I'm laughing. Oh,
that's
so
good stuff.
This is another thing that Frank Dukes actually did, the bottom brick thing. I should have sent you the video, but the bricks aren't stacked on top of each other like they are in this movie. You know, Van Damme does the thing and he's like, ah, and then the fucking bottom brick just explodes.
Right.
He has them stacked so the bottom brick is bearing all the weight of every brick that's on top of it. So he punches the, or doesn't punch it, he palms it, the bricks, right. And then the bottom one just kind of like breaks in half. And he does that on TV a bunch of times.
Doesn't explode like a bomb went off inside it like in the movie.
And then there's Chong Li after the brick explodes and Ray's like, holy shit, how the fuck did you do that? That was awesome. And Chong Li looks at it and goes, impressive, but bored. Or bored, not bored, sorry. He's stealing Bruce Lee's lines.
Very good. But brick not hit back.
And the fucking agents are back. God, fuck the agents. Now.
I agree with you. Fuck that whole subplot.
It's so
that is
dumb.
Literally just, it's there to fill time and to feed Frank Dukes' ego.
What we need is that Bloodsport remake that they were talking about a few years ago, but make that, you can have that plot point because it's fun if you do it right, but you gotta like
make it more compelling. It's not really compelling.
They're just chasing him all over the place, but they don't even need to. It's like, you know where hotel, you eventually know what hotel he's staying at. Just wait there.
Just, I mean, they figure that out halfway through. Like at the midpoint, they meet him at his hotel and he evades them. Like, well, you still got to go back to the hotel.
So now we are actually back at the hotel and the reporter is back, but this time she's getting harassed by this guy named Hussein and his bros or whatever.
Who is going to eventually Hussein, seriously?
I don't know if it's Hossein or Hussein. I call him Hussein.
Oh, okay.
He's that dipshit with the golden tooth. He wants to take the reporter up. I mean, naturally, she's super cute.
She is.
Like, but
very much so.
She says, "No, no, thank you." And he's like, I'm going to take you upstairs. We're going to fuck." And then Van Damme in his fucking, in all his chivalry, says, "Hey, I'll gamble for her. If I fuck up and I lose, you can have her." And she's like, "What the fuck, dude?"
Rightly so.
If I can take this fucking coin from my hand before I close it and whatever. And then he does the thing and he switches the coins and then they go and apparently that means, hey, we're in love now. So they go have like a cute little walk and talk scene. And she's like, well, what will you answer some questions for me? And he's like, if you go out with me tomorrow night.
Hello. He just won her. She doesn't have a choice.
That is true. That is true. Frank Duke said this part didn't happen either. I didn't sleep with a reporter before the tournament.
But once I'd won, she was so overcome with lust.
That was the impression that I got. I should have started a split counter earlier because Van Damme is really letting it show that he can do the splits.
Oh, yeah. Personally, I love the gratuitous ass shot. That was that was actually really progressive for the 80s. You didn't get a lot of man ass going on. And in fairness, Van Damme's got a great ass.
Yeah, somebody mentioned years ago that because, you know, he's from Belgium, it's masculinity and things are a lot different over there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Europe is way more comfortable with its gay side.
Oh, yeah. If you ever watch Kickboxer and see that fucking outfit he's wearing in that scene where he's dancing, oh, my goodness. Ray comes to grab Frank. He doesn't know how reproduction organs work. He's like, you better stop doing the splits. You might want to have kids one day. Well, it doesn't really affect that, I don't think. So, at about 35, 40 minutes into the movie, we finally get to the fighting, right?
All
right,
here we go. And once it starts, though, it goes.
It's a good, it's a good last hour or so of the movie. Another note, awful lot of spectators for a secret tournament. The kickboxer is the first guy, is one of the first guys to fight. One of the kickboxers. He is...
There's the guy who gets his shin broken.
That's this
and
guy.
And was Paco also a kickboxer?
Yes. Paco was the Muay Thai guy.
Okay. Okay.
And he was legit, apparently. Like, a legit really? Fighter. Like, also won real-life tournaments and shit.
Interesting. But this I know guy, I did look him up because I didn't know who he was, but he looked familiar to me. And apparently I've seen him, and you know, he's been in a bunch of shit.
But the other dude is Tong Po in fucking Kickboxer, the guy in the first fight.
Really? Oh, they must have had him made up like crazy to play Tong Po.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's kind of a pretty boy, a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't look anything like that. Jesus.
But apparently him and Van Damme were like childhood friends, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
Ray has his first match. He kicks ass. It happens really quick against the guy in man tights and shit.
And he breaks the all-time record.
Yeah, he breaks the record.
His first fight.
And then right then he's like, he calls out Chong Li. He's like, I'm going to kick your ass, man. Chong Li, by the way, is the winner of the previous tournament 5 years ago. So he's 5 years older than he was back then. What, did he win it when he was like 12? Jesus.
Hey, man, remember, Bolo Young is not young in this movie.
No, that's true.
I mean, shit, when was he in Five Fingers of Death? In 73? 74?
Yeah.
So like
that.
10, more than a decade before this. And then Enter the Dragon, of course. That would have probably been like 76, 78, somewhere in there.
Dude, I honestly don't know. Oh my God, now I'm like, when the fuck was he in all these goddamn movies? Bolo, Enter the Dragon, 73.
Oh, really? That early? When was Five Fingers of Death?
72, shit.
Okay. So he was in that in 72. And yeah. Then the very next year he was in Enter the Dragon.
This guy's just been awesome for his whole life, huh?
So yeah, that's 15 years before Bloodsport.
He was in a movie apparently called The Karate 2, and he played a character named Dracula Jack. I don't know what that is, but that's going on my list. Anyways. So it's Bolo's first fight, and of course Bolo fucking kicks ass, sets another record and shit.
Naturally.
And it's Frank's turn, and he goes against Hosen, his first fucking fight. He goes against the guy who wanted to fuck this girl that he also wanted to fuck. So he kicks his ass.
Fast.
It's fast. He's
12.2 seconds.
So Hosen plays possum. This part's important for Van Damme, actually. So Hosen gets up, and he goes and, you know, he's going to sneak attack and cheap shot Frank. But Van Damme turns around, elbows him right in the face, knocks his tooth out. Apparently, Van Damme didn't know how to fucking movie fight, so he actually elbowed the guy.
Oh my God.
Broke his jaw.
Jesus, really?
Yeah, this is just full of fucking problems.
Oh, wow.
That's actually a common complaint that I hear about Van Damme, is that he sucks at movie fighting.
Interesting.
Or at least he used to. I don't know about now.
I would hope he's gotten better, having been in, what, like 70 action movies at this point?
Yeah, no shit. I'm like, you don't want to break Dennis Rodman's face, do you? I don't know if they fight in that. But, you know, after that, fucking, he sets the record, pisses off Chong Li, and Ray's like, yeah, Frankie, yeah! Because that's, like, most of his dialogue from here on out.
A fair bit of it, yeah.
And then we get the fight montage. You need this fucking fight montage. Actually, there's two. There's two of these.
Yeah.
Because there's 2 days before we get to the final day.
Yeah, and you need the 2 days. You need the two montages, right?
Set to the Kumite song that I don't really remember the name of, but it's fucking awesome.
This song is so ridiculous.
Fight montage, and it's all the fights, and you know, Frank and Ray, and everybody goes out again, and it's good. The fights are really good in this movie for what they are, especially like you watch, especially back in the day, like once the early to mid 90s hit, like fights kind of got a little lame in Western action movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Frank Dukes is supposedly the action coordinator on this. Don't necessarily believe that. But him and Van Damme had a working relationship for a few years after this. They did Lionheart together.
Yeah, it was The Quest that I think...
The Quest, yeah. Which is just like Bloodsport, but not.
Not great. Not a great movie.
I remember when it came out, I never watched it.
It's fine, but it's nothing special in Van Damme's body of work.
No, I remember it being in the movie theater. I kind of wanted to go see it back in the day, but I never did because it was rated R. And
I just thought it had a really shitty title, The Quest.
And there's no quest. It's just like a tournament, right?
Yeah, it's just a martial arts tournament.
Quest to win the tournament.
Roger Moore's in it.
The agents need to learn how to use chopsticks.
That fucking scene. Oh, my God.
Little racist. Like, he's like, my eel's good. How's yours? And then the white cop is like, I don't know. I haven't tasted it yet. Like, why'd you order it? What the fuck are you doing? I don't know.
The implication is that it's kind of a shitty restaurant based on the fact that the cop doesn't eat there.
Yeah. The Hong Kong police chief or whatever he is, they're like, hey, please join us. And he's like, no, I never eat here. So maybe it sucks. Even the dog didn't want it.
Yeah.
Cute dog. Totally dead now, but cute dog.
Yeah, that is the sad
unless he's trick. Like 50 years old.
Yeah, this
unlikely.
I was 9 years old when this movie came out. I don't think that dog's still around.
So they confront Frank at his hotel, you know, and him and Ray are hanging out, and then this is the taser thing. How about 50,000 volts and shit? And he's like, shut up, pal. I ain't your pal, dick face. I actually wrote that line down because it's really funny. That's what Ray says to, I think, Forrest Whitaker or somebody.
Forrest Whitaker, who is being wasted in this movie.
He wasn't wasted yet. He was just some random...
No, he is being wasted. His abilities are being wasted in this movie. But
nobody
maybe
knew.
He didn't have them yet.
No, nobody knew or cared back then. This is the, I'm trying to become an actor, so I'm going to do this shitty movie.
Fair enough.
It's a canon movie. And canon movies were fucking huge, so you know at least people were going to see it. Can you imagine this being... Like, the blockbuster was only like a decade and a half old at this point. These movies were like dominant, this kind of shit.
Yeah.
And canon turning out like 10 of them a year.
Plus the international market for them is huge.
Oh, man. And these are movies that the dudes can take their chicks to because, you know, Van Damme's butt.
Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous ass.
That's when I was conceived, after my parents went to see Bloodsport. That's not true. Bloodsport came out when I was a year old. So
that was when your little sister was conceived.
They saw Big Trouble in Little China, and then they went home and fucked.
That was it. That was it.
Oh, yes. That's my story now. I'm down.
I was conceived when my mom got so horny for Kurt Russell in Big Trouble in Little China.
Nah, it was Lopan.
Wheelchair Lopan.
She has green eyes, you know.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know what color my mom's eyes are. I think they're brown. I don't fucking know. Do you want to stop the movie for a fucking Mentos commercial?
Oh, my God. Now I want to see someone edit that together.
Oh, they have.
Oh,
100%.
I got to see it.
I am not the first person to fucking say that. I'm not the... No. Every single podcast, again, said, this is a Mentos commercial. I'm like, I know. I was there. I saw the whole thing. It's just the...
I did not connect those dots. That's how bad at connecting dots I am.
It's the agents chasing Van Damme through town. Whatever. It's fucking dumb.
Is the silliest, most pointless time-wasting
it's like,
chase.
It's cute, sure, but fucking keep it out of my goddamn movie.
Again, they know where he lives. They do not need to do this chase.
Date time. It's really just an excuse for Van Damme to get naked and show his butt. And
yep.
it's a good butt.
Wow. I was impressed.
And then, you know, it's day two of the tournament. Frank's late because he was busy fucking, but no.
As you do.
No, Mickey isn't, like, Rocky isn't ringing in his head right now going, like, women weaken legs and shit.
He doesn't love Rocky as much as you do, Andrew.
Ogre, you know, Ray tries to break the bottom brick. Doesn't work, fucking. He's like, how about this? And he breaks a brick over his fucking head, and he's like, here you go, for you. He's fucking.
You're calling him Ogre?
Yes. So, Frank would not help the reporter get in. He apologizes profusely. He's like, they have strict rules, no press. Wait, I'm going to do that again. Strict rules, no press. I can't do it, but, you know. So,
you have to remember, Europeans pronounce the S at the end of the word as an S, not as a Z like we do.
That's true. That
they
is
have
true.
Strict rules.
Anyways, she's going to be an escort for this for the funny guy who's always fucking doing stuff.
The guy who loves Frank.
Yeah. And I love how at that same moment, like the same moment, but he walks up and says, hey, just let this fucking guy be in the tournament and shit. And then fucking shoves money in the guy's coat. And then they're like, okay, you can fight. And he grabs the money out of the guy's coat again.
Soon as Frank walks in.
Yeah, anyway, it's funny. And another fight montage. Also, how does she get there that fast? I don't know. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, she got there before he did, and he left before she was even dressed.
Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense. The Chong Li bit here fucked me up as a kid, because we stop the montage, and he takes the fucking Tong Po and breaks his fucking leg. Always messed me up. It's super fucking gross.
That's a pretty gnarly shot, I have to admit, especially for a kickboxer, if you think about it.
Ooh, yeah, that's your whole career. You're done. Yep. Ooh, and, you know, she's very conspicuous with her fucking tape recorder. Like, you see the leg break, and then she pulls out this tape recorder, and she might as well just be like, hey,
I have a tape recorder. In case you were wondering. It's so fucking big, too.
And then, again, the montage stops a little bit so Frank can have a moment with this weird fucking other kickboxer who looks like the model lady from Conan the Destroyer.
I was going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've only seen Destroyer one time, and it was in, like, the 90s.
But it doesn't matter because he kicks his ass in like a second. And then the sumo wrestler
guy.
Oh,
you're talking about Grace Jones.
Yeah, Grace Jones.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, no, all right. Yeah, this guy does kind of have a little bit of that Grace Jones intensity.
I knew her name was Grace. I couldn't remember what her full name was, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one because, like, he's just, like, he's really threatened. Just, like, you're fucking dead. Just dead silent, like, no words, but he's just gesturing all this threatening energy, and then Van Damme just like whack just down,
kicks him right in the face, flies off the platform, wins the match. The sumo guy, he breaks the poor little monkey kung fu guy's back.
Yeah,
but Frank's gonna kick the sumo guy's ass, and he's gonna get back at him for breaking the back of a character that we know and love,
who we've seen two times.
Yeah. He's in, like, one fight the previous day, and that's it.
He's in the opening montage in one fight.
And this fight's actually pretty cool, because it's Van Damme trying to fucking kick this guy's ass, but he's huge, so it doesn't work. But just like Mortal Kombat, it's literally the scene from Mortal Kombat. Well, Mortal Kombat is the scene from this, when Johnny Cage is fighting Goro. He does the split kick, punches him in the nuts, and then Van Damme does the fucking dim mock on this guy.
No, he does the dim mock first, then does the does the nut punch. And Van Damme's expressions are so good.
Yes.
Know?
That's right, because I'm like, he does the dim mock, and I'm like, shouldn't that be the fucking finishing move?
You'd think that, right?
Because it's like, and also, is he dead now? Because that's technically what that move is for, right? It's called the death touch.
I was saying to Storm, I was like, at that point, his spine should just explode. Like he's been shot with a .45.
I'm also pretty sure that in modern day full contact martial arts tournaments, you're not allowed to hit people in the balls.
Well, this is an underground full contact.
That is true, with refs and official timekeepers.
Oh, and don't forget the detail that is only revealed at the very final moment of the movie. There's somebody at the side with a laser speedometer.
No.
Taking the kicks.
No.
Monitoring every
single
kick.
There is absolutely not. I will tell you how Frank explains that away here when we get to the end. So Chong Li is going to fight Ray. And again, this one goes about as well as you want. This is as well as you think, as well as you want. You want Ray to kind of beat his ass a little bit. And he kind of does. And then he's like cheering. And then Chong Li's on the ground. But then Ray's like, yeah, I got him, fucking Frankie. I got him for you. And then, of course, Chong Li just gets up, shakes his head because he is a little rattled.
Yeah. No, if he'd have kept going, he would have had him.
Yeah.
Like, this is clearly a go ahead and punch him when they're down tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not like Fight Club.
Yeah.
And so, you know, eventually he goes to Ray getting his ass kicked and getting his head stomped on. He doesn't die.
Because we've already established he has a head like a rock.
But apparently Ray Jackson is based on another guy who entered the tournament not really knowing he was a brawler and didn't really know what it was going to be. He thought it was going to be a one-on-one tournament, but since it's that 20, sending 20 guys at you, you're fighting one guy a minute, he just couldn't hang.
I'm glad this tournament is so secret that street brawlers can get
into exactly.
It.
He's not dead, but not to rewrite the movie, but maybe he should have died and given Frank something to actually fight for.
Like, what, the honor of his shidoshi was not enough?
No, because it's like mentioned again, but never really.
That's fair.
The reporter's name is Janice, but who really gives a shit is my next note. She does go and sell him out, though, so he doesn't get killed. She runs right to the cops after that. The sadness montage. I'm like, what the fuck? Why do you need a sad montage? You just met this guy 2 days ago. It's cool. You guys seem to have gotten really close really quickly, which is nice. You have a new best friend, which you don't because you're not in the second movie. He, like, mentions you, but fucking, he's like a, I don't think, I can't remember if he's actually in the tournament in the second movie or if he's just like a one of the like a Mr. Lin type character. But the sadness montage, there's one scary shot and I'm like, God, how would I react in this situation where he's on the bus and he sees fucking Chong Li just giving him the fucking Bolo stare.
Bolo's face in this. Oh, now you want to talk about a dude who had a great face for a villain.
And there's a few times he plays a good guy and I'm just like, this is so fucking weird.
It's so bizarre. He's watch a good guy. What was it?
TC2000. He's a good guy.
TC2000. Like, that was the one. I watched that and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I love it because I'm a Bolo fan. I'll watch him in anything. I don't give a shit.
No, he's great, but he's got that perfect villain face. Like he really does.
So let's start day three. Oh, they go to the hospital and, you know, and Ray's all like, I'm fucking dead, but I'm not dead. And, you know, Janice and Frank are arguing. She's like, you're not going to fight anymore, are you? He's like, I'm going to go get him. And she's like, you're going to die just like him. And he's like, no, I got to do it for my shidoshi.
I love this argument between them because they actually have where he says, why did you become a reporter? And she says, because my dad was a reporter and I studied reporting and I thought I'd be a good one. And so you want to be the best reporter you can be for him and for yourself. And she's like, yeah. And then he's like, well, don't you see? That's why I'm doing it. And the funny thing is, she's so angry about him potentially getting killed. She's a reporter at an underground fight that does not allow reporters and is run by the triads.
Yeah.
The Chinese mafia. She is way more putting her life at risk than he is. People are killed pretty rarely at this thing. Reporters who sneak into the wrong places and start nosing around triad business, I'm guessing those guys are killed left and right.
She's dumb. This script is stupid. I do like what happens next. Day three, going down the corridor since she fucking tattled on him. The cops are there.
Narc.
And he beats the shit out of some cops. He finally gets to the end of the corridor. The agents are there with their dumbass tasers again. They look like PKE meters. It's fucking weird.
I think that's the only version tasers came in back then.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, it is the late 80s, I can imagine.
They are fucking huge.
They are gigantic. But I don't know what the fuck these guys are doing. Like, Frank just, like, twitches, and he grabs a thing, and I'm like, dude, why are you... And then they fire the fucking taser right at him. I'm like, he didn't do anything. Why are you guys shooting him?
It's because he moved.
But, okay.
But he cleverly grabbed a garbage can lid and deflected the taser... Yeah.
Into
What the fuck are those called? Electrodes?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Into two poor cops that were just kind of standing off to the side. They'll live, but like, fuck, man. The agents, then they just kind of give up. They're just like, fine, fucking go do it. Go, fucking go. That's literally what it is. They're like, just
they just fine. Quit. They're just like over it.
So now even the cops know where the illegal underground tournament is being held, and they're doing nothing to stop it. Cool. And then Frank has a really badass fight with Paco, and they do that trading blows thing. And, oh, God, that just hurts.
Yeah, like, that one did hurt to watch. I'm just going, oh yeah, like, my back hurts from, but at the same time, my back hurts from sitting on my couch.
And think about doing that on day three of something like this.
Well, you've been through, like, so many fights. I don't even know how many fights he's been through already.
In this movie, it's been, like, three or four. In Frank's air quotes real life, it was like 60. Because he apparently won 63 fights to become the champion. Because he fought 60 guys over the course of the 3 days and then the one-on-one tournament thing.
In total, I know it was something like 359 fights.
Yeah, I took pictures of all
undefeated,
that stuff.
Unless you listen to like his earlier version, in which case he lost seven and had, or no, lost one and had seven draws. But then he changed it to 359 undefeated.
So Frank wins against Paco. Chong Li fucking wins his match, and he has to kill one person because he's the bad guy. And
naturally. So he just kills the last guy that he fights before Frank.
He was fighting honorably.
There is no drama with this guy. It's literally like the second time we see him in the movie.
Yeah, like apparently there's no analog for Chong Li in real life. So at least Frank is like kind of toning that part down. So the final match, again, I always thought the platform was broke at this point, but it's like curved and, you know, broken down in the middle. But according to Frank, this actually fucking happened. They actually did it this way.
Okay.
He described a bunch of platforms. Like sometimes it's like a straight platform. Sometimes it's like a round platform. Sometimes they break. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ. Crazy bastard. You crazy bastard that I fucking love to death because without your nonsense, I wouldn't have Bloodsport.
True. He may be completely full of shit, But Bloodsport, it's like, I kind of don't mind.
We wouldn't have Bloodsport. We wouldn't have the rest of the Bloodsport movies. We probably wouldn't have Kickboxer or Lionheart.
Lionheart.
Or Double Impact or JCVD or Expendables 2, even.
Well, I think we would have Expendables 2, but it wouldn't have been...
It wouldn't have been as cool.
Van Damme, and yeah. So it wouldn't have been quite as awesome.
Chong Li is a fucking cheater. Before the fight, he had his, like, corner person or whatever shove... I guess it's like a salt pill thing.
Some kind of tablet. It looks... It looks kind of similar to the vitamin C tablets my mom used to give me. It's about that size, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Too big to swallow, but chewable, you know. But it's clearly, like, something else. I don't know. But he throws it in Frank's eyes.
Yep. It's powder, and he throws it in Frank's eyes.
And it blinds him.
It goes blind, and we get probably the most iconic shot from the movie, the scream. Frank wins the fight. Of course he wins the fucking fight.
Of course he wins the fight.
He makes, but he makes Chong Li submit by saying, Mate!
Well, and there's that sweet scene when he finally, like, centers himself.
Oh, yeah,
he gets in touch with his training for fighting blind. And Chong Li swings, and he just hand jerks up out of frame, grabs, and stops him dead.
I don't know if it's the first instance of this happening, but the Van Damme split kick that he always fucking puts three times in every movie, I think. Not like in three separate fights, like he does it once and then it plays the same shot three times. I need to watch more of his movies. Does that happen in all of them where he does the thing where one, two, three?
I don't think so.
Not even sure if he does it in Kickboxer.
I don't recall that happening.
Does he do it in Kickboxer? I know he beats Tom Poe by doing that big, long,
again,
tall kick in the face.
I haven't watched Kickboxer since the 90s either, so I don't remember.
You know what you should do? You should watch all 7 Kickboxer movies.
Jesus. Storm would probably be into that. He is loving action. In martial arts specifically, he's really into the martial arts.
So Frank gets presented with the sword from earlier in the movie that him and his friends broke in to steal, and he's like, I wasn't going to steal it.
So it turns out that's how Tanaka got the sword.
But that's not the story. Everybody's like, hey, so Frank, where's the sword? And he's like, oh, that. You want to see the trophy? So he also got a trophy. I'll tell you about the trophy.
I do know the story of the trophy.
He had the trophy made at a fucking trophy shop in the valley.
Yeah.
But the sword, supposedly, it existed too, but he sold it to save a bunch of children. Specifically a boat full of children that were kidnapped by pirates.
Oh my god. Oh, the bullshit runs so deep. Every time you think you found the bottom, a new layer opens up.
Where's that part of the movie?
That must be in part two, right?
Oh my god, no. He's not Frank Dukes in part two.
I know.
The other actor isn't Frank Dukes in part two either. So it's just some random dude that we're thrown into, and then he just takes over for the rest of the franchise. Frank wins. We go to the hospital. Ray is awake. He's drinking a beer in the fucking hospital. I don't know what it is with these fucking movies and people.
Well, it was the 80s. You know, things were different.
But like in Raw in France, they're just like smoking in the fucking hospital and shit.
How French, though? I mean, a doctor just lighting up during an exam.
Chong Li took Ray's bandana. He's got this like Harley Davidson bandana, and, you know, Frank gets it back, and they like, he gives it to him, and he's like, try to keep your clothes on next time. And then they high five, and then they look longingly into each other's eyes like they're gonna fucking kiss, but they don't. And of course, you know, Janice is like, do it. Kiss.
Come on, do it.
But yeah, they share a moment, and it's the best relationship in the movie, really. It's kind of fucking adorable.
Anytime, anywhere, any place. They're like blood brothers at this point.
That's why they call this thing Bloodsport, kid. So then he promised to meet the agents after the tournament. The agents are there at the plane. And they're like, where the fuck is Frank? Because he's not there.
Turns out
he's on the plane. He pops out. He's like, what the hell's taking you assholes so long? Get the fuck in here. And then Janice shows up.
Frank Dukes is just that good.
Yeah. And they're on his side now. They're, you know, Forrest Whitaker's like, yeah, it's good stuff, man. Like,
I'm glad he's on our side.
Like, you're kind of a badass. So Janice shows up, and he, you know, they do the bow thing. Then it freeze frames on Van Damme, and it says, "This motion picture is based upon true events in the life of Frank W. Dukes. From 1975 to 1980, Frank W. Dukes fought 329 matches. He retired undefeated as the world heavyweight full contact Kumite champion." So there's a
lightweight,
apparently,
and a middleweight Kumite championship,
but
as well.
Heavyweight is way more impressive.
Yeah, it's almost like that title was made up on the fly.
So he still holds 4 world records in 1988. Even if these were records, 1,000,000% they've been broken by somebody in the UFC. Fastest knockout, 3.2 seconds. Fastest punch with a knockout, 0.12 seconds. Fastest kick with a knockout, 72 miles per hour. Okay. Most consecutive.
Where's the guy with the speed gun on the side? What track in everybody's kicks?
Most consecutive knockouts in a single tournament, 56. And everybody's like, you'd have to have like quadrillions and trillions or whatever of people to fucking make that happen. I'm like, I don't know how that works, so sure, why not? But that's why he came up with the, you fight 20 people a day and shit. And I'm like, okay, fine. At least you found a way to explain it. Props to you for that. Here's how he explained how they caught the speed.
Yes, please enlighten me, because the bullshit on that was so fragrant, I had to light a match.
So would you believe that somebody caught this whole tournament on film?
No, because it's a super secret tournament that no one has ever spoken of until now.
So they caught this whole tournament on film, and they used the frame rate to measure the speed, because they know how fast the frames are moving, and that's how they measured the speed of the kicks and the punches.
Okay, so how do they know he has the record?
Because they watched him and everybody else.
Have they filmed every Kumite?
Everyone for the last 1,000 years. I don't fucking know.
It's so fucking stupid. That is the most bullshit stat. I could not believe what I was reading when I saw that.
I told you he found a way to explain it, though. Not saying it was a good way to explain it, but
the explanation is as stupid as every other lie he's told up to this point. And don't get me wrong. I love it. I love it.
I am 100% on board. Frank, you are a crazy bastard. And you know what? Fuck it. I believe you. Sure.
It's all true.
I believe you. Don't sue me.
It's all true. Every word of it, folks.
There's some stuff that he said. I'm like, please let some sprinkle of this be true. And it's not what you think. It's like all this stuff. He talks about how he's like part of the World Organization of Peace and shit. And I'm like, that's like, not, it's a real thing, but you're not in it. But he talks about doing some humanitarian stuff, and I'm like, please let at least some of that be real, because that's fucked up if you're just saying you're doing all these great things for all these children in other countries and stuff. Not rescuing them from pirates, of course, but like just helping them out.
Yeah, no, that's fucked up, all right. As I said earlier, the term stolen valor was invented with it Frank Dukes at least partly in mind.
He's insane. And I love it.
And dude, he's still holding on to it.
Him and Tommy Wiseau.
Movie
together.
Oh my God. Yes. Tommy and Frank. It would be the ultimate team up.
They would not be able to work together.
No, not for a second.
The egos on those two? Whoa.
It would come to blows. It would come to blows for sure.
So they'd blow each other?
I'm trying to yes and that, and you just blanked my fucking mind, man.
That's Bloodsport. We did it. It's 6:48 as we're recording this, so we still have a few minutes to do all the stuff. Again, I'm out of practice. Also, I don't give a shit. Nobody's giving us any money, so patreon.com/rushcrosshollywood. Go fuck yourself.
And that's just a taste of what you'll get there.
Yeah. But before we finish, do you have any final thoughts, like official, actual Shark Pod final thoughts on Bloodsport?
It's fantastic. It completely lives up to its reputation. It has aged like a fine wine. I fucking love this movie as much now as I did then, for completely different reasons, because at the time I was 12 years old and bought all of it.
And it's the coolest fucking, oh yeah, my mom's like, oh, she read it to me. She's like, yeah, it's a true story. I'm like, oh, it's so fucking cool.
And now I'm watching it and I'm like, God, was I like,
you were 12.
Was I just like really, really dumb?
No, or... you want to believe awesome shit.
That's true. You want to believe awesome shit when you're 12. You still have faith that awesome shit is out there at 12.
And when I'm like 5 or 6 watching this and Best of the Best and shit, I'm just like, yes, all of it.
Suffice to say, it is an absolutely delightful ride that I cannot recommend highly enough. The acting is terrible, but just roll with that and you will have such a good time watching this movie.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, that Canon DVD set, such a good investment.
One, that is the best $20 I've ever spent.
Like, worth every penny.
The only thing it's missing is like Breaking. I know it's not an action movie technically.
Which I did pick up.
Which I've never seen it and I really want to.
That's my two cents. And I'm doing stand-up comedy now for the audience. I don't think we've talked about that on the podcast yet.
We haven't yet because you haven't done it. We haven't done it since you started.
Jesus, has it been that long?
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I can be found doing stand-up comedy at whatever open mic I can get a place at. Currently, I've done the Spokane Comedy Club, their open mic, and New Talent Tuesdays. I've done those. I've done the Grain Shed has a bi-weekly open mic, which that's on Fridays. The Grain Shed is downtown Spokane. That's kind of an unusual one because the room's not really built for comedy, but it was fun to do. The audience was very cool. Oh, and the Draft Zone in Post Falls, they have an open mic on Thursdays that I've been going to. And then the Goody Bar right next to the Deja Vu on Sprague, they have a Monday open mic that I've been going to. So I'm only doing open mics now, but I'm hoping to get some real work here in the coming months. And I will let you guys know about it as soon as I know.
This is what a midlife crisis looks like, everybody.
Fuck you. It's a new career. I'm going to make it.
My final thoughts on fucking Bloodsport, since you cut me off, you son of a bitch. Bloodsport's great. Go watch it. It's like a piece of shit, but it's a great piece of shit. I don't know what the fuck we're doing next time, but I don't really give a shit either. We already told you about Patreon. Again, go fuck yourself or pay us, and then you can go fuck yourself in a good way instead of the aggressive way that I'm telling you right now.
Fuck yourself to full completion.
Yes. I will blue ball the shit out of you until you fucking pay us money. You can follow us on everything at The Shark Pod. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, maybe with another Canon movie. I don't fucking know. Maybe with Blood Fist, the Roger Corman ripoff version of this movie. If we don't do it next time, we'll definitely do it eventually because fuck yeah. And then we can talk about Don Wilson's issues with Frank Dukes.
I'll bet that's an interesting story.
I love it. I love it to death. So yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with something else. But until then, stay awesome.